Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Here we're talking about this specific example, this specific religion, and this specific community. But I when you look at it in a broader term of child abuse and institutionalized child abuse that we've seen in over the years in various religious organizations, and this is not a slam at religions nor religious organizations. I'm talking about the bad people within them specifically. And a lot of times people don't like to admit, or it's very hard to come to terms with something that you've believed your whole life was pure and good and wonderful, and most of the people you've interacted with there were good and nice people. So when something like this comes out that somebody's doing this sort of thing, I think the initial reaction is to, oh, this can't be true. We should cover this up, or we should, not maybe cover up's the wrong word, we should go to the aid of whoever's being accused because they could not possibly do these sort of things within our organization. I think we saw that sort of thing with a lot of smaller communities with the Catholic Church. Everyone in those communities, in many of them, it's a pillar of the community. There's a lot of leaders involved in those sort of churches. And I don't think a lot of them, you know, necessarily had any sort of intent to cover up child abuse. But it is something that I think some people maybe have done inadvertently, indirectly, without their own knowledge, just because of those deep ties sometimes that people emotionally have to the religion and the shock and utter disbelief that their organization or someone in there could be doing something horrible.
Yeah, I mean, so well said. And look at Lori Vallow. To me, that's the extreme, right? Mm-hmm. Where she took her religion and just spun it off and really made it an excuse for being able to commit murder of her children. And I think this is the exact same philosophy, if you will, in terms of using religion to back criminal behavior.
Yeah, it's a scary thing.
And it happens in those extreme groups.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's not always just child abuse. Sometimes it's swindling money out of people. I remember when I was in Wichita, there was, and maybe you've heard of this story. This happened after you had left the area, but there was an amusement park that came up called Wild West World. And it ended up being headed by a man who had already been in jail for securities fraud, came in, went to a church that was kind of falling apart, swindled most of the members into their getting their money, funded this park, shut it down within 30 days of it being built, and then disappeared. But that was another great example of somebody going into a religious organization and taking advantage of people with good hearts. I think this just happens far too often. And I don't know, do we need more safeguards in place for people in places like this, or more oversight to make sure people like that, or like we're seeing here with the Hildebrandt and Ruby Frankie, from infiltrating these groups that otherwise are good?
Well, I think it's so important to spread the word and to educate, because I believe wholeheartedly that people in church organizations are targeted because of their kind hearts, and they can be easily influenced. I mean, look at all of the individuals who have been murdered, hurt, committed suicide in the name of religion, mm-hmm. You know, from Jones to Koresh. It's, you know, you find a group of vulnerable people who want to be in keeping sort of with religious ideals, mm-hmm. and it goes off the rails. So, you know, it's just unfortunately tends to be that area of vulnerability in our society.
What's your take on Kevin Frankie? He's saying that he's had very limited contact with Jody or the kids, like 4 times in the last year, which I find difficult to understand why, considering he's a father to some of these children. It's one thing if you're not with your spouse or they're getting a divorce, although they're saying that they're trying to work on this, at least Kevin's saying that through his attorney, and just very bizarre actions, saying that his daughter was burglarizing their home when she was there to get her belongings, and that he wanted to file charges against her. He seems all over the board on this. If he doesn't know anything, he's mad at one of the daughters and this, that. I don't know how to get a read on him or put myself in his shoes, because I don't know what kind of shoes he's wearing.
Well, the read I have on him is a deplorable father. I think this behavior was going on for years. We see it discussed on their videos. And then to watch his actions, really seemingly turning his back on his children. What father really does that? I mean, a father who really loves their child does not want to be away from them, also wants to provide monetary support. And in this most recent situation where he was trying to get his daughter arrested, but I think at the critical piece of information about that, Tony, were these diaries.
Yeah.
Because supposedly, you know, his daughter had access by going into the place really their place, these diaries. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what was the impetus for his concern. Nothing to do with his love for his daughter, or concern for his daughter and her having her belongings, but rather, oh, my gosh, I don't want my diaries revealed.
Yeah, I think she's going to sink their ship 100% because she knew where the secrets were kept, it seems, and she knew what she wanted to get out of there. And it'll be very interesting to see at some point, if we ever do see what was exactly in those diaries. But I'm going to guess at the end of the day, it's the very people that they were abusing all these years are the ones that are going to come back and get them put away.
Exactly. They're going to be the best witnesses. And I just hope that, you know, so often you see children really do not want to turn on their parents, even when their parents are bad. We're seeing that in the boy in the box case. I hate to even call it that because it seems so detached, but seeing that right now in that case.
Now, I agree. I mean, it's one of those things where it's so shocking. But when you hear a term like that, boy in a box, it's like, oh my God, what is this? We're calling it kid in a cage on this podcast. But it's the same, just utter crazy detachment that some parents seem to have for the people that they are charged with loving and bringing up in this world. It doesn't make any sense to those of us who do love our children.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.